Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Oh, hello. It's Doug Jen and Victoria.
Is that your version of the Kinks song?
No, I hadn't even thought about that. That's, yeah.
It's the only song my name fits in.
Karis, here you can find a copy of that, will you please? We'll celebrate the good news of the day. These floods in Louisiana left thousands and thousands of people displaced. No homes. Water levels have risen. Some areas they've stayed the same. A lot of people forced to sleep in shelters all around Louisiana. Relief trying to assess the situation. But in the midst of all of this mess, all of the loss, all the chaos, there have been hundreds of stories of wonderful people who devote their time, their money, their resources to help the people who need help. Some people have donated a large amount of money. Others have saved lives and taken seriously the charge of being a good neighbor. One couple helped out an entire shelter of people by providing them with a bit of food, fun, comfort. They had a barbecue for them. That's kind of cool.
It's a big barbecue.
Well, they said they spent the entire day making smoked meat and feeding it to flood victims. The husband and wife team, oh no, they're sisters, I guess, right?
Husband and wife.
Husband and wife, yeah. Kristen and Amanda Dornhorst spent $1,800 to prepare this meal for everybody at Celtic Media Center, which has become a giant shelter for many of the victims in the heart of the storm. They started with a trip to Sam's Club, bought a lot of chicken, a lot of hot dogs, sausage, brisket, and then they attached a sizable smoker to the back of their truck and went to the shelter where all these people were in need. They served barbecue all day long.
Wow.
Imagine the odor.
It probably smelled delicious.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. All this bringing people together, talking about their circumstances. And this is these people are a great lesson. We can find stories like this every day around America, people who've shown other people how much they care.
Yeah.
I was listening to people talk, and you know, one of the big, I mean, obviously there's a lot of political criticisms that come in the days and weeks after stuff like this. There was not enough help.
More government. Where was the government? Why weren't they here to help us? We can't do it on our own.
Hey, and in some cases, it's right. Why wasn't the government there to help with disaster? But one of the stories, or one of the people, I thought encapsulated it so nicely and said, without the government here, we were able to help each other. And they would get neighbors, would get in boats and go and rescue other people. I mean, the stories, I always say, out of disaster breeds heroism. And you just, it's kind of cool to hear these stories about people helping people, you know? I mean...
It
gives you hope, because so often we just sort of live in our own little bubble. It's nice to know that people are still out there watching out for each other.
We certainly do live in a bubble, no question about that. You can contribute to the bubble by commenting on our issues, Twitter at Good Day Show, Facebook.com/Good Day. Yesterday we were talking about that fellow who was upset, and now his lawyer is filing suit against, I think it's the state of Ohio. The lethal injection failed, and they want to put him to death. Using the same thing, and his lawyer says, nope, it's cruel and unusual. Here's listener Carl, who is an ER nurse. He says needles are not that painful. Sorry, especially if the person knows they're going to get a pain shot. Well, I think there's probably...
That's true, because they do numb you down first before they give you the lethal injection.
Or whatever they do. Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, let's see here. Yesterday we were talking about Sting's brain scan. This is from Jerry Bloomberg, who said, my husband is a musician, trumpet player and composer. When you talk about his brain, he listens to music in a whole different way than I do. He listens to the why or how of the motif of the music, the changes that are chosen, the harmony, the melody, the key changes, each part of the line. Sometimes it makes it unenjoyable for him, especially if those performing are not very good technically. What I find in thinking about the brain and how it works, you know, it's one of the things that fascinates me. How do we measure brain waves and what's really going on in your brain? And I've talked dozens and dozens of times about the folks at Cerascan in Denver who do this for the NFL. They do it for the Army. They do it for citizens. And they've found a lot of things that are different about a musician's brain, shall we say, from somebody who would be a good welder or a mechanic. And then there are those who have exposure to different things where at a young age, our brains are being put together. When you're born, your brain is not completely functional. That's why you need all the help that you do. Your brain is pretty exposed. And when you come out, a lot of the things that are that make your brain work later on, the synapses of your brain, haven't been all connected. That's why I say most of the research you look at, if you're exposing your child to television or to computer screens or whatever before they're three, you're just basically assigning them not a death sentence, but you're corrupting their brain for the rest of their lives. And in the case of people like Mozart and Bach and Beethoven, these people who have the ability at 4 and 5 and 6 years of age to be able to compose music, what is that all about? That is out of this world stuff. And the thing that when we were talking about Sting's brain, any musician, anybody who's good at what he or she does, you'll find your brain operates a little bit differently. That's what I found out from my experience at Cerascan. So think about what you do for a living. Think about what you do in your life. Think about your interests. Are you a good fisherman? If you're a fisherman, your brain works differently than if you're a good baseball player. Things like that. There's a different sort of, we have, that's what makes it so fascinating. The human condition and all humans are so different. We talk about our DNA and the Genome Project and things like that. We are so unique, all of us, and we ought to celebrate that. I think that's one of the things that brings me together with Jennifer and Victoria so well every day. We all have unique perspectives on what's going on, and that comes from how we were raised, how we came out of the womb, what we were exposed to, and then you know what we have done with our brain since then. And that's why there's a problem with so many young kids now, because their brains are not being developed because they depend on these damn devices. There's no brain development going with, you got to stimulate, it's like a muscle. When you stimulate your muscles, they get stronger and bigger. If you don't stimulate them, they atrophy. And the same is true. And by the way, you look at kids today, I'm in better shape than most of the kids that I see in the gym that are 15, 20 years old, 25 years old.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
And it's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about millennials having very weak handshakes.
Yeah.
And not being
everything's
as
weak.
Physically, yeah, not being yeah. as physically strong as, yeah. you know, even Generation X or Y.
Yep. All right. So anyway, that was the point. Here's one other comment that came that I wanted to highlight. Twitter at Good Day Show from yesterday. Ronald Reagan was a discussion topic. This is from John Barclay. He said, it was little advertised that Reagan was a libertarian or considered himself libertarian in thought. That's how he got R's and D's to deal with. In other words, yesterday I was talking about how Reagan loved to make deals as a Republican with the Democrats. He loved the other Irish politicians, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. And Tip O'Neill and Teddy Kennedy became a part of that club, part of that group, and they got stuff done. So where are they now? Who do we have that's going to get along with Hillary or with the Trump? If I think Obama has been a nightmare when it came to actually getting along. He was very inflexible. I think the last flexible president we had was Bill Clinton. Bush demonstrated.
He was very flexible, if you know what I mean.
Did you see that the Clinton took $17 million from this for-profit college? Did you see that? Meanwhile, Hillary is blasting for-profit colleges But Bill Clinton took $17 million from, I think it's called Laureate Education, Laureate.
As a guest speaker, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is part of what's going on, what voters are weighing right now. I mean, for some people, it's just sort of, they go, well, it's kind of baked in. All right, we expect this kind of behavior from the Clintons. We'll go ahead and hold our nose and vote anyway. But when you really think about all the stuff that they've done, it's, you could write several books.
What do you think Barack Obama's going to do? Any president, well, the Bushes didn't need to because they had plenty of dough.
The thing is that after you're the president, I don't care what you do necessarily. The problem is when you want to run again and or you become head of the State Department and you put up like a for sale sign on America, on the secrets, on our national security. I mean, the fact that Hillary Clinton negotiated a deal to sell uranium to the Russians and military technology to the Russians because it benefited donors to the Clinton Foundation. I mean, that's the stuff. I mean, look. Bill Clinton wanting to give speeches all day long, go for it. You're the past president. You can capitalize on it. But when you have a wife with political aspirations, that makes it really tough.
All right. Food for thought from Jen Jen, 20 after the hour.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes. There is a reason why they call them the good old days.
People run around naked for the most part because that's what it was. It was all wide open and everybody got into Hewlett and just started chucking clothes.
Next up,
you know what I'm talking about.
Pam's Purple Door.
Got a lot of nice girls.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Deadwood in the 1980s.
Deadwood was awesome. It wasn't the gambling casinos. The old Deadwood, you could go in the Wild Bill Saloon. Every place down there was historic, had some significant history behind it.
Legal prepaid footsie.
Pam's Purple Door, which was a house on Main Street. I made that one once or twice. Prostitution legal back then. They closed that down. I just liked it back then a lot more than I do now.
American Biker Minute.
I wish they'd change it back.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Think green. Harrison with you. Think your computer's complicated? Consider your eyes with 1 million light receptors. Your ears with 24,000 sound fibers. Your body, 500 muscles, 200 bones, 7 miles of nerve fibers. And while the body holds only 5 quarts of blood, your heart pumps 600,000 gallons through 60,000 miles of veins and arteries. With 2 trillion blood cells, your 3-pound brain has over 13 billion cells. We are part of the environment, too. From the Greeniverse, this is Harrison.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. School violence is on the increase, and finally, researchers have an idea why. There's a lot known, but there's more to be uncovered. Here's the science of it. Everyone knows there's been a substantial increase in the number of school shootings worldwide, and everyone, including social scientists, has asked, were there predictive signs? Now, a preeminent warning appears to be violent fantasies. Reported in Scientific American Mind, as violent fantasies grow, they require more mental space, and their sense of what is just becomes distorted. What's the cheap psychological trick? To find out your child's fantasies, find out who and what inspires them. Negative inspirations can lead to despair, disillusionment, and potential violence. Have a comment? Then contact me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.